Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we always talk about the Kingdom of God. And I did a radio program recently, and we had a number of guests that came on, some people I knew before, and some I didn't. And we talked about a new series, What About Bob? We talked about Where's the Fire? We talked about a lot of things about what the early church was doing, what you could do. We try to bring it into down at the level where you really need to understand it. Somehow or other, this whole idea of religion has gotten away from the pure religion of James, which was a religion that required us to take care of one another, just like Jesus said. Jesus said, feed my sheep. He didn't just mean spiritually. He meant physically. He meant to take care of one another, to love one another, to actually do what you needed to do to provide the necessities of life for one another. But you do it through faith, hope, and charity. Modern society has gotten away from that. They have gone into a way of religion is just what you think. We've got an entire series on that that we're going to make available. Actually, it is available on our website. And if you join thelivingnetwork.org, you will see that. And there will be people there to show you where you can get and download these audio files and books and everything else for free. And find out what the early church was doing, and start doing that. It's essential to save your life and to save your soul. In the Old Testament, the word life and the word soul are often interchangeably translated. And Jesus said the kingdom of God is for the living. And we have become extremely dependent on a system of the world that Jesus said you were not to be a part of. You were to live in it, but not a part of it. Because it's a world where people do not live by faith, hope, and charity. It's a world where people get by and survive and live by forcing their neighbors to become human resources. And if you force your neighbor to become a human resource for your benefit, you yourself will become a human resource for the benefit of others. And that is the crux of the gospel. John talks about it. Until John, everybody in the world at that time was setting up systems in Rome and Judea and Corinth and the Ephesians. All these different places were setting up a social welfare system that was no longer based on faith, hope, and charity, but upon force. And Jesus came along and said, no. John the Baptist came along and said, no. If you have a need and your neighbor has a solution, you know, the resources to provide that need, then your neighbor may do so through faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. A message Paul was giving. A lot of misconceptions about Paul, which is why we have a 20-some hour series on Paul and the Romans, and we will add and add and add to that. I just listened to a debate that I had with another minister on another radio show, and I'm just amazed how far off people are getting. And we also write articles, and they appear on our website and in our Kingdom newsletter, which you can all sign up for. You can see us on Facebook. We're not real active in Twitter, but we even got a Twitter. And the fact is, we've got lots of people that are beginning to awaken to what the real gospel was all about. And it's changing their lives, and it's changing the way in which they relate to the world, and it is providing for them in ways that have not been going on in this country for almost 50 years. It's always been around, but we have moved away from the ways of Christ. We still call upon His name as if His name is Jesus or Yeshua or something, but we're not calling upon His character. We're not following in His way. We have created a broad way in our 40,000 denominations that stray from the simplicity of the gospel, which is in accordance with Moses and John the Baptist and Abraham, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's good. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. And anything else that is listed in those commandments that has to do with the way in which you relate to one another. There is a righteousness and there is an unrighteousness. Anyway, so we did several hours on this, and there's at least 1 hour show that we did, and we edited out a lot of the breaks and that sort of thing, but I'd like to share that show with you so that you get a little bit of a feel for what it means to really be seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and open up your mind to what Christ was really talking about, because He came to set you free, literally, in this life and the next. He didn't come to create a bondage of religion. He came to set you free, to do righteousness to one another, and thereby create bonds in society that will hold up during any cataclysm or devastation that may come your way, or the way of your society, which we see many people are beginning to see on the brink. So anyway, I hope you enjoy this program, and we'll see you on the radio. God bless.
Theo, it looks like Brother Gregory is here with us. Yay!
Well, I was trying to get here sooner, but it didn't work out, so it made me a few minutes late, but I'm here. I'm not sure what we'll talk about today. I'd like to take phone calls. And
yes.
We just finished up a series of recordings, about 20-some-odd recordings on false religion, true religion, pure religion, private religion, public religion, and civil religion. And it includes the definition of religion and what a Christian is and what a Christian is not. And basically, you know, we went at this issue from a lot of different viewpoints, but we're always bringing it back to this gospel of the kingdom, which is not really heard in modern churches. And it's what saved a vast section of the Roman Empire that were Christians. And I say vast, it's not vast in numbers, but spread out over a wide area. Because the real Christians were only about 5% of the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire was going away that we see modern society going today. The parallels are unprecedented in history. I mean, we not only have the same system, but we're making all the same mistakes. The same laws are getting passed. The same corruption is coming in. I was always amazed that in the Patriot Act, they made it a crime of suspicion. If someone suspects you're a threat, you're a threat. You've actually committed a crime. Such thinking has never been a part of American history. Although there's always been some people around that would think in such a way. What we're trying to do is show the solution, which Christianity was an actual solution. That's why they call it salvation. that word salvation, solution, they are similar words, similar terms, similar means. People think that the salvation that for Christ preached was for the dead, for people after you die, but he specifically said it was for the living and not for the dead. I got a call last night about 10:30 at night from a young boy who's in public school, and he's evidently surfing the net and came on our website and got a hold of my phone number and called me up at 10:30-something at night and wanted to know questions about the Bible and religion. He himself was an atheist, but his teacher in public school has assigned to him to find out something about the Bible, why the Bible is so inconsistent, or why there are contradictions in the Bible, etc., which, of course, by a teacher asking such a question, they've already cast the accusation that there is inconsistencies in the Bible. Well, there certainly is inconsistency in the way that people interpret the Bible. There's inconsistencies in the way that people translate the Bible. But generally speaking, for a book that was written over a period of several thousand years and translated and rewritten and is actually a composition of some 60-some authors and transcribers, because we know Paul didn't write all of his epistles, but because it says right in the epistles that this was written by so-and-so on behalf of Paul. That's we have a whole 20 hours on Paul's Romans epistles that go into a lot of the interesting things about Paul and where he came from and what he was talking about, because most of the people I run across don't understand Paul the Apostle. And they don't understand partly because of language, partly because they don't know history. And here was this high school boy, evidently just entered high school, and he wants me at 10 o'clock at night, or almost 11 o'clock, I guess I was still on the phone by then, to explain to him the inconsistencies of the Bible. Now, he hasn't read the Bible. He actually considers himself an atheist, and he wants me to give him in 25 words or less, I guess, something he can memorize and take back to his teacher. And he has a report due Tuesday. So I sent him an article, one that we have coming out on News with Views, that's about that word used, religion. And that was where we began this series of talking about religion, is the fact that this religion idea in our minds, and I heard the recording of the show just before this, was thinking that religion in our minds is, it means a certain thing. It's like we believe in Buddha, or we believe in Allah, or we believe in Jesus, or we believe in Moses. I think I got most of the major religions, or we believe in Brigham Young, I guess, or Joseph Smith, or whatever it is. That's religion. And to some point of view, that is religion, and certainly it's defined that way, because religion is defined as what you think about, and actually the recent definition is a superhuman creator. And they say that's what religion was. But then we show in the articles and in this thing that 200 years ago, religion was how you performed your duty to your fellow man. And then when we go back to the fall of the Roman Empire, which we see taking place today in the world, and the New World Order is already collapsing around us, and of course there are people who are running the show behind the New World Order who think that they're going to come out on top. And of course we have prophecies that they won't come out on top, but also we have prophecies that a lot of people who think they believe in Jesus will not come out on top either. They'll actually be cast out, and the door will be slammed in their face, and they will not be let in. But they think they believe in Jesus, and they had a religious experience, they think, that says that they believe in Jesus. And really, when all that is swept away, all of what we think is swept away, what we have left is the man. Behold the man. What's left? Or the woman. What's left? When everything falls apart around you, are you still loving, charitable, at peace with the world? Are you become a little tyrant? Or maybe a big tyrant? And are ruling over other people? And all that has to do, and if you've listened to our shows on quantum and string theory, that has to do with this spiritual reality. In all these religions, they realize that there's something that is motivating the world around us, the creation, you know, nature. You know, even the supposed deists of the Constitution and Declaration of Independence, they say they're deists. That's not really... Even the word deist meant something else back then, and they didn't all call themselves deists. This is somebody says these things and people actually believe them. But anyway, the fact is they talked about us being endowed by a creator, by nature and nature's God, with certain inalienable rights. And this morning before one of my shows, I heard the news people talking about privileges of the right to remain silent. And he referred to the privilege to remain silent granted to you by the Constitution. Completely the reverse of what people like Madison said about the Constitution, that it didn't grant any rights to the people. It was barring government. But now we have lawyers up there saying that the Miranda through the Constitution granted you the right to remain silent. And if you remain silent and don't invoke the Constitution, which you can actually get into trouble invoking the Constitution in a court today, that the privilege is not granted. And therefore, the fact that you are silent can be held against you and guilt be assumed. Well, this goes back to, you know, the Patriot Act, assuming you're guilty because someone imagines that you're a terrorist, and that's a crime. If you cause somebody to be afraid, you can actually be arrested and charged with a crime of making a bureaucrat afraid. And so this is how far we've gone. Religion, what Christians were doing, where they were taking care of themselves without applying to governments that were all around them. They're giving away bread, giving away pork, giving away wine, giving away oil to the poor and needy. And they actually had a means test sometimes. Sometimes they just gave it away, like the big cheese giveaway a few years ago. They were just giving it away. Anybody show up, they give it away. But Christians didn't go there. And this is what the whole thing about things sacrificed to idols. It was things given at these welfare systems, and we show how the Temple of Xerxes was the distributor of your food stamps, your welfare food stamps, and the Temple of Saturn was where you registered your birth so that you would be eligible to apply at the Temple of Xerxes, Ceres, for your welfare, and how they created this system of elementia, to distribute bread, and they actually distributed money even under some of the emperors, like Trajan. And they even had health care. They under Nerva, I think it was, they had universal health care. Of course, they were bankrupt. And all this stuff was the same things we see going on today. But we have this kind of B-movie view of history, and we don't understand what was going on. The amazing thing is that if you look in the laws today being passed in the United States and even in places like Australia, you will find Latin words in the laws. You will find references to Roman maxims of law in the laws, in their statutes, because we are Rome. We have become the new Rome, and I talked in a recent program about, I think it was Cheney, who referred to the United States as the new Rome. Well, Rome fell I don't want to surprise anybody, but Rome fell. And it fell because of corruption. And the corruption came because Rome changed from the 500 years before Christ to 400 years after Christ, a 700-year period. Rome went from a pure republic, a virtually pure republic, to an indirect democracy, to an empire. And countries in the world today are going the same route. So what are you going to do? Vote? Get politically active? Going to convince everybody to give you your rights back? It's not going to work. Because most of the people are corrupt. Most of the people want to take from you rather than go without themselves. Because most people don't love their neighbor as themselves. Here's a guy telling you that what you're learning in your local churches, and I almost cannot make an exception to this, what you're learning in your local churches is a bunch of crap. I'm kidding you. It's a bunch of fertilizer. It's not true. It's not what Christ was talking about. It's not what Christ was doing. It's not what the early church was doing. I don't know a church that even looks close to what the early church was doing. I haven't been able to find it. I've been in a lot of churches. And they don't want to hear that. And I'm coming along and saying they are crooked. Their way is crooked. Now, I know there's some sincere guys in there that have been deceived, because this is a strong delusion. But I'm out here in the wilderness saying, make straight the way of the Lord, and I'm telling you what the way of the Lord is. The way of the Lord, go back to Moses, go back to Abraham, go to Jesus Christ, same thing, early church, was they took care of themselves and their needy through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. So therefore, they could say to the other Christians, Paul would say things like, stand fast in the liberty in which Christ has set you free, because they were another government. They had a king, one Jesus. You don't have that. You can tell people that your king is Jesus, but if you're not taking care of the needy in your society, in your gatherings, you're not a Christian. You're not following Christ. You're not doing what Christ says. You don't believe in him, evidently, or you would be doing. Or maybe you just don't know him. You know an artificially false Christ that somebody else has created and put into your mind. And here I come along and say, you need to change your mind. You need to have your mind changed. You need to be changed, you know, like certain political candidates promise change. I was on an earlier show, I read from Kennedy was saying that there is change and promising change. And of course, that's lots of presidents that come along and promise you change because you're dissatisfied with what you get. But the changes sometimes are worse. It's frying pan into the fire. Well, I'm saying that you can't change government. You're not going to change the governments of the world. You couldn't do it even if you were a tyrant and a dictator. The only thing that will make a difference is if you change the hearts of the people, and the only person you have the right to change the heart of is you. And in order to change your heart, you have to walk a certain path. And we'll talk about walking that certain path.
Okay, I think we are back live. Oh. Oh my goodness.
Anyway, adventures in Radio Land. But anyway, unless somebody can think of a direction, I'll keep going with what about Bob?
What about Bob?
Oh, that was Bob is quoting Ephesians 1:13, and he says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He thinks that because you believe in Jesus, that you're sealed in this Holy Spirit of promise, and so therefore he can't lose his salvation. But he started out with, in whom ye also trusted. Do you really trust in Jesus? Then why are you trusting in Caesar? Why are you looking to men who called themselves benefactors and exercised authority one over the other to provide you with your social welfare needs? Because the early church didn't do that. As a matter of fact, Christ told them not to be that way. Don't be like the rulers of the Gentiles who exercise authority. You know, this is, people think that the kingdom isn't here. They don't believe that, and Jesus tells them to go out and preach that the kingdom of God is at hand. This is what they're supposed to go out and preach. The kingdom of God is the right to be ruled by God. Do you have the right to be ruled by God? Or have you given someone else the right to rule over you? And of course, you have. You've done this because you've trusted them to obtain welfare, benefits, public school, everything for you in society that you think you need. And you were willing to take away from your neighbor in order to do it because they exercise authority. So the more you ask your government to do, the more you're trusting in your government to do it for you. Instead of starting a volunteer fire department and supporting it with free will offerings, you put it on the tax rolls. Instead of building a hospital with your own money and the money of those people who wanted to support that hospital and took the time to look up what you needed medically, or let's put it this way, let's use a different word other than medically. Instead of looking up what you needed to know for good health, you went to doctors and gave them the power to decide what you should eat and what you should not eat and what you should put in your mouth and what you should not put in your mouth. And you actually go to a doctor and you have such trust in those doctors, they say you need a shot and you go get it. You don't know what's in that shot. You don't know that there's formaldehyde in there and there's maybe lead in there. There could be all kinds of things in there. I'm sure we could... You go Google vaccines and find out that you just go to a doctor and because he's wearing a white suit. The fact is you believe what they tell you because you trust them. You don't trust in the Holy Spirit. If you trusted in the Holy Spirit, you would look, and actually, I know Cookie's listening to this, and Cookie has heard from the Holy Spirit from time to time in her life. I don't know that she listens to it all the time. I don't know anybody that listens to it all the time. But sometimes, and this is the thing about the Holy Spirit, we have to grow in that. But sometimes, she just knew. That doesn't seem right. She didn't know because of any other thing than she just knew it. And then she went out and got information about it, and so that she could give facts and information about what she already knew down in her heart. How did she already know it? This is how the kingdom of God works. This is why I say what you need is the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the power of the kingdom. It just says, don't go through that door. Put on your brakes. Stop. Don't go any farther. Don't walk down that hall. Turn left here. The Spirit will actually tell you to do those things. But it's only the Holy Spirit you want to listen to. And to tell you the truth, there's a lot of other spirits out there that say, yes, do what the doctor says. Yes, take that vaccination. And you do it. Because you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. You're listening to the unholy spirit. Or you're not listening to anybody but the doctor. And you can't hear the warnings that God is sending you all the time. And why? Because you don't care about other people as much as you care about yourself. And because you care about other people as much as you care about yourself, because you're willing to forgive God will speak a little louder to you, and you will have ears. He will give you ears to hear. And you will say, GMOs? I don't want no stinking GMOs. I'm quoting from another movie. We don't need no stinking GMOs. Because you know something wrong with that. You know, I knew there was something wrong with that. Of course, I did have some science background and had explored this, but really, it wasn't my science that really told me what was what. It was the spirit I was listening to when I was a little kid. I had a tremendous sense of justice. Almost every fight I ever got into as a kid, I was fighting for somebody else I thought was getting unjustly treated. And I got beat up occasionally, but I never got beat up where the other guy didn't know that he was in a fight. But and occasionally they had more evidence that they were in a fight when we were over than I did. But it was almost always in defense of somebody else. I had this sense of justice and righteousness that that's not fair, don't do that, you can't pick on him. I didn't even like the guy I'm defending. But there I was in the heart of it. So do I hear another voice? Is that me echoing back?
It's me laughing.
Oh, is that you?
Yes, I'm laughing. I just love when he talks and when he brings up these things. But, you know, Brother Gregory, you know, when it comes to taking a stand by not getting an immunization or defending someone, or when you hear that voice inside and your spirit is directing you and it tells you to go to the right or the left, I can see all those things. But when you talk on your... on Freedomized Radio about getting a group together, let's say what you just brought up about the fire department. I just feel that I don't have any control over developing my own fire department that's not attached to the government, because it's such a big issue. You would have to have a lot more people with a lot more finances, with a lot more power. I mean, if you could get 200 people that are all willing to start a fire department, but then you also have to have individuals besides the truck and the building and people willing to sacrifice their life for a fire.
Right.
You know, it gets overwhelming.
We're probably not going to get rid of the existing fire departments. We don't have any power or authority to do that. But I'll tell you how simple it is, because just before I came in to start on the radio program, I went to throw some tools back in my truck, and my son has hooked up to my truck a trailer. And in the trailer is a 350-gallon tank of water. And hooked to that is a trash pump that will pump out maybe 60 gallons a minute. And he went out and bought for $27 a nozzle that goes on the end that's made for fighting fires for $27. And he put it on the end, and he can fire that thing up and shoot water out 40, 50 feet. We've already put out a brush fire because... You know, we are prepared ourselves. The other fire department showed up. Actually, a fire department from... we only have volunteer fire departments in this community here, but there's a neighboring community that actually has a fire department on the tax rolls. And they were called and told not to come, but they came anyway, and they want to charge the people who started the fire accidentally. They want to charge them for starting the fire. We already had it put out by the time they showed up. There was a little bit of brush that was smoking, but they want to charge, and they stuck around. They were told not to come. They came anyway. The fire was already out when they got there. We were mopping up, and they want to charge the people. We don't charge the people anything. So the fact is to start, you don't have to start with a giant truck. To tell you the truth, on Craigslist, we saw a brand, not a brand new, it's an old truck, but it looks brand new. It's absolutely perfect rubber tires on it, pristine condition, great diesel engine, immaculate chrome and paint and pumps, everything works on it, $6,500. It's used. That's all.
And I know these things can be done because I lived in a small town called McAllister in Wisconsin.
Right.
And it was incorporated, and we had our own fire department, and our fire department was all volunteer.
Right.
And we had probably 200 people over a 20-mile radius, and we took care of ourselves because we're 25 miles from town, and by the time a fire engine got from town, it would have been all over. And most of our fires were, some people might be in a 1,000-building complex living in an apartment, and they're listening to us, and they're going, yeah, you know, like in the middle of New York City, how am I supposed to start my own fire department?
Well, I tell you, I could tell them how to do that. Okay. Buy a fire extinguisher. Buy two. Put them in that little coffee table nook thing right by your front door. Go over and talk to your neighbors. You know, if there's a fire, you know, check out where are the exits. You know, what do they have fire extinguishers? You check the local fire extinguishers to see if they've been inspected. But you buy a couple yourself. Go down to a hardware store and just have a couple and get together with other neighbors. What will you do in case of a fire? Have first aid kits in your house. Learn how to use them. What do you put on a burn if somebody does get a burn? Don't sit around and wait for disaster. Be a good scout. Start community watches.
This is practical information.
We just had one of our ministers in Missouri. He didn't like to go to regular churches. He just told this story, and I just thought of it, so I'll share this story with you. He doesn't like to go to regular churches because every once in a while they say stuff, and he is just squirming in his seat and wants to say, no, that's not true. But his wife and the daughter were missing the fellowship of going to church. And so he said, okay, we'll pick out a church and we'll go to that church. And they went to that church on Sunday for the fellowship. And he did a little squirming, but he went. And then when they were done, they were going to go out on a little outing on the way back home. And they went down a street they normally never go down, and they spotted smoke coming out of the eaves of the building. And they stopped. And other cars went by, but another car stopped. But he ran over to the building, and they saw there was smoke coming out of the eaves, and it was increasing more and more coming out. And they saw somebody upstairs, and there's a woman upstairs with three small children, including an infant. Very small children. And they encouraged the person to pass the kids out, and the person ran back in. And so they tried to break into the front door and get in, but the flames it was like melting your skin. You couldn't get into the front door. You couldn't go downstairs. And so they ran back to the window, and they were calling to the lady, come back, come back. And she finally came back after what he thought was an ungodly amount of time, and they convinced her to start dropping the babies down, and they caught them. And they eventually convinced her to jump down. She weighed about 300 pounds. And they said they didn't really catch her, but they broke her fall. And nobody was hurt. They had a little smoke inhalation, but nobody was hurt. The house was eventually the fire department came and put it out. And that's not really a fire department, but the fact is you can be ready. Carry a fire extinguisher in your car. Carry first aid kits in your car. We encourage everybody to have, you know, extra quarters in their house. Be able to set up extra quarters in your garage. If people, you know, where are those people going to sleep tonight? Where are they going to stay? Start creating a network where you become the FEMA of your community. And by that, we use the phrase FEMA to stand for Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary.
I love this when you talk this way and bring it down to the size where we can all comprehend, and maybe I'm the only one that has the problem with comprehending it, but I'm just trying to be your advocate, you know,
Well, that's good, because because we're actually anxious to buy that fire truck, and we have a local guy who wants to build an airplane hangar. He's building an airplane in his garage, but he needs an airplane hangar, and he wants a place to take off from. Well, we have a big field, and he says he could take off from that. So we said we will beat the brush, and he wants to build the hangar on the church property. And we just, these things just start fitting together. But all of a sudden, we thought, well, you'll never get a permit for a hangar in an airport. Well, we looked on an old map, a really old map, almost 100 years old, of the property that the church bought. And it used to be an airport. It actually shows an airport right there. We went out there, and the strip is there. Now, there's brush grown up, but all we have to do is beat the brush off, and there's gravel underneath, and we've got an airport. And it's grandfathered in. We don't need a permit because it's already on the map. It's been there for 100 years.
And where there's a will, there's a way. And don't you think Holy Spirit directed you all to this? And
absolutely.
It's like all of a sudden it just shows up, and it's like, wow. But
right.
But the thing is to get it started and to put heads together and to make things happen. I mean, somebody might just all of a sudden join or get together with you, and you had no idea that this person was a pilot. It may be, in World War II, and
so,
he knows everything about this stuff.
Right, and so the fact is what you do is you don't start, and this we'll take it back to What About Bob. What About Bob was always talking about that his therapist was reading in the movie? Baby steps. Okay, see how I tie everything together?
Love it. Baby steps.
Baby steps. You don't start with a fire truck. You start with a fire extinguisher.
And an alarm system.
That's right. You start with a phone tree. You start with meeting your neighbors. And if there's a fire, we want to make sure we all know where the thing is, so we're going to just have on our little apartment complex, let's talk about fires. Print something up that says, here's the fire exits. Earthquake, what would we do? Become emergency central for your neighbors because you care about your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make too much of a pest out of yourself. Be there and just say, we're just sharing, and if anybody else wants to get together, we want to talk about preparedness in practical ways. Don't get into the world preparedness, start off baby steps again. And everybody else is going to have to take baby steps. And it's the same way with walking according to the Holy Spirit. You just have to take steps in that direction. So we talk about the kingdom. We talk about a society of millions of Christians who for centuries lived by faith, hope, and charity. They had no central welfare system. They actually just took care of one another, and they were invincible for many years, and they got away from that, and they became weak. And the fact is we need to get back to that. We've lost that. We were doing it in early America. Circumstances made it. So you had to come to your neighbor's assistance if there was an Indian attack, if there was fire. What did they do when there was fire back then? They had to come together and put it out. We used to put out fires in this country, forest fires.
Mm-hmm.
We used to go on them and put them out. And I'm just talking to a guy who runs heavy equipment and stuff. I've said it myself to many other people because I was trained in firefighting with the Forestry Service because that was originally what I studied at the University of Minnesota. But the fact is they don't put out fires now. They have huge, giant fires. They got roads everywhere. They got millions of dollars spent on pumper trucks and trucks and equipment and everything, and they don't get these fires out for days and days, and they burn up tens of thousands of acres. And why is it? And I can sit there. I could film it for you. They don't show up on the fire till 9 or 10 o'clock the next day. And then they have their safety meetings, and then they have to get their equipment on, and then they have to take a break, and they make sure everybody's got water, and then it's 11 o'clock. And then they start walking up the hill, and it's 12 o'clock. And then the fire's blowing up because it's the hot part of the day. You could go up there and put a wet blanket on it at 10 o'clock at night. At 10 o'clock at night, that fire dies down because it's nighttime. You go and watch these fires. They die completely down 10, 11 o'clock at night. By 3 o'clock in the morning when the sun first starts to show, you know, disappear stars, and you should be out there with your gear on and your equipment on. And you should be up on that hill by 4:30 in the morning with backpacks, and you could go and spray that fire out and create a real fire line. And that's the way we used to do it. We used to go up there with grub hose and Pulaskis, and we used to create real fire line. I got into trouble when I worked for the Forest Service. I came on a fire early in the morning. Somebody had set the fire. It actually ended up being a Forest Service employee set the fire so they could get overtime. And I and my fencing crew came on this fire, and we saw it, and we radioed it in, and we said, there's a fire out here. I mean, there was frost on the ground, and there was a fire starter. Where? How did that even start? And it was a little tiny fire. And we called it in, and they said, don't do anything until we get an officer on site. I said, well, it's only about 10 feet. It's a little tiny fire. How many guys do we have? I think we had at least five guys, if not seven, there with axes and chainsaws and Pulaskis and everything you needed. We were fence building and trail building crew, and they didn't want us to put the fire out. I said, the flames are only like a foot tall, but if we wait, it's going to get into the brush and into the trees. And they told us to wait. We weren't to attack that fire, so we didn't attack the fire, but we built the trail around it. And so it stopped the fire at the trail. We took initiative. We didn't fight the fire. We were just building a trail. We thought you would need a trail when you got here, and you were going to fight the fire. But it stopped at our trail, and it didn't burn beyond our trail. We made the trail about 4 feet wide before it got to the brush.
So because it was political, it was always depending upon whose axe was getting gored and not for the purpose of mankind.
Yeah, if they get on the fire and it gets over a certain size, they all get hazard pay, and they all make more money. Now, they don't think that out in their head, but that's actually the spirit that's guiding them. They're not following the Holy Spirit. I saw those trees. I didn't want to see them burn. If it got into the brush, then it's going to have fuel to get into the trees. So we built the trail around it and it stopped the fire, and they were all upset. But, I mean, what were they going to do? But you have a caller? Do we need to take a break, or should we take the caller?
We're at the bottom of the hour, and so we'll take a quick call, and then we'll wrap up the show and let you get back to whatever it was you were doing, getting grubby.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm doing irrigation next, so, but go ahead. Let's take the caller.
Okay. 646, your mic is live and you're on the air.
Speaking of fires, I stopped smoking, so I'm just extra stupid these days. Anyway, that was just my two cents, and it's been great listening to you guys.
Gee, she's a perfect example of someone in New York in an apartment.
Well, the interesting thing, when the fire department showed up to put out this fire that they say they're going to charge the people for, when they rolled out their hose broke. Guess we got to go to a break, and then I got to go irrigate. So
I wanted to tell you, congratulations on quit smoking. That's one way to put one fire out at a time.
It is. That's right. It's actually delightfully smoke-free. I don't know how delightful some of the other moments are for some of the other people. It's really really had me get tighter with the things that Brother Gregory was talking about earlier, I guess, you know.
Well, I always told my kids that if I ever catch them smoking, they better be on fire. But anyway, smoke inhalation actually kills more people than flames do. It's a rough thing, but I'm glad to hear you stop smoking. More power to you.
It smells great. Everything actually, you know, smells great. It's been about a month.
Right.
Yeah.
Things will taste better, too.
And Brother Gregory, it's awesome, just awesome. Thank you for being here today, and we're glad that you made it. And
okay.
We had a great conversation today.
Okay. God bless.
God bless, sir. Okay, well, we'll send Brother Gregory off with his outro.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.